Psalm 95. I've shared on this psalm before. This is just an awesome psalm when it comes to worship. And I kind of felt like going back to this one again. So you may have seen this before, but that's okay. Because we read our Bibles multiple times, and every time we look, we get deeper into it. So the Lord is good. Let's look at Psalm 95. Verse 1, it says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him." Let's pause right there. What this psalm is going to talk about worship. So the opening thought is, well, what is worship? Verse 1 tells us it's singing to the Lord, right? We sing to... Why do we worship? Listen, I think there's something special about music. I know there's something special about music that brings us into the presence of the Lord. I can't explain it, I can't quantify it, I can't measure it, but I know it to be true. Even for myself, I'm a logical science guy, okay? I love Mythbusters, you know, I love science stuff. Physics, you know, I love that kind of stuff. I'm very mathematically inclined, but I also know there's a part of us, though, that's not just logical. Deep within us, we have our soul, we have a spirit, we have the Holy Spirit living within us if we're Christians. And if we begin to sing songs of praise to the Lord, I just sense His presence in ways that other expressions of worship maybe don't do. When we pray, I sense the Lord. When I read, I sense the Lord. When I begin to sing to the Lord, it's like I get overwhelmed with His presence. I can't quantify it, but I know it to be true. This passage tells us worship is in part singing. Second part of verse 1, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Shouting is a good part of worship, right? Shout joyfully, right? Where do you normally hear people shout joyfully? Not shouting joyfully would be, you know, Denny's at 4 a.m., right? Or, right, in a fist fight somewhere, right? Or, I saw a show last night for a few minutes, Parking Wars, where people are trying to get their car out of the parking lot in Philly. They're shouting, but it's not shouting joyfully. It's not worship at all. What would be shouting joyfully? A ball game, right? Baseball game, right? People are excited, right? Everybody except the Eagles fans at the end of the season. But we're excited the first three quarters. And Lord willing, before Jesus comes back, Jesus, can we have one Super Bowl? Just one. All we want is one. Shouting joyfully, right? You get excited. Well, that's a part of worship. And I know we can watch football, and I don't worship football. Some people do. And when they go to the stadium, it's like going to church. And they put the songs, and I thought that the first time I went to a real Eagles game at Veterans Stadium, people were, when they scored a touchdown, all of a sudden everybody would stand and they would sing. And I never thought grown men would ever sing. And they sing. And they put the words on the screen, "Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory." I'm like, construction workers are singing. It was really strange to me. And I thought, we're at church, right? This is a Sunday. Grown men are standing. The words are on the screen. They're singing joyfully, arms in the air. It's worship. Unfortunately, not for all of them, because it's fun. They're not all bad people. But for some of them, that's really what they live for, though, is football. Because they don't have anything else in their life. They pay exorbitant rates for season tickets, and they don't have anything else. So football kind of is their God. And it's kind of sad. And I pray that they get to know Jesus. But it's worship. We should not be afraid to shout for joy to the Lord. Amen? That's why I love it in church. We could say amen. Why? What does amen mean? It's a church word. I don't know why we say amen. I don't know. It's in the Bible. So it's a church word in the Bible, but it means right on. means I'm with you, Pastor. In fact, a while ago we had somebody who instead of saying amen would say, right on. You know? It means I agree with you. I'm there. The Lord is good. Amen. Right on. Right? But there should be something within us that if we're spending time with the Lord and growing in Him, and we spent time in prayer, and if we spend time worshiping Him, even in song, we sense God's presence to the point where it's overflowing, where it's almost like a coffee cup that's too high. And you ever try to carry it and you start shaking and it overflows? That little amen should be like an overflow of the presence of God. So it should be like we're in love with Jesus. We've spent time with Jesus before we got here. We're worshiping Jesus through song here. And then when somebody's like, God is good, you're like, yes, He is. Because you're like filled with the presence of the Lord. And it's almost like you're carrying a cup and somebody bumped you and you spilled out coffee. Some of you, when somebody bumps you, you spill out poison. Because you're filled with bitterness. Because you refuse to accept Jesus' love and you refuse to obey Him and forgive others. So you carry poison. And you wonder why when people bump into you, you splash out that. Today I pray that you would allow Him, and maybe worship, maybe singing is that doorway to you to give God praise and allow Him to replace the bile and the bitterness and fill it with joy. So when somebody bumps you, Jesus spills out. Right? God's presence spill out. Have you ever seen people where they love Jesus so much that when you look at them and you look at them in the eye, you see Jesus? I have. There's only been a few people in my life that I've looked at. And like all the time, no matter what happens, you're like, good morning, or you say something to them. And you just see they love Jesus. And they're so close with Jesus, you just get a sense in their eyes that they love the Lord. It's like they're filled up so much, it's just spilling out. You know? It's just like right there. That's worship. Sometimes what you need is the first step in worshiping the Lord. Because I think when we come to church, there's this barrier of, I had to beat my kids before church. Ugh. My spouse is getting on my nerves. Ugh. Car is out of gas because my spouse don't know how to fill it. Ugh. Not my spouse. I'm speaking for you. Okay? Not my spouse. But you know, you just maybe fought with everybody. Maybe you've heard the story of me running late, you know, driving to church. Get out of my way, lady. What's wrong with you? I'm like, beep, beep. What's wrong with you? Get out of my way. And then come to find out she was going to the same church. I've had that happen. We're looking and all of a sudden she pulled in and we're like, oh my gosh, that's just... And my wife so humbly says, you fool, you've been beeping Sister So-and-so for 5 miles. Right? It's true. And we pulled in and we're like, oh. So I did not park next to her. Okay? So she parked and I drove all the way around out back. I drove kind of fast, didn't want her to see me. So, you know. So that day, I did not have the presence of the Lord bubbling over. I had everything else. Sometimes singing can be kind of like taking the lid off of our spiritual bucket, if you will, or taking the lid off your cup and allowing Jesus to fill you up. Sometimes singing to the Lord can allow you to receive His presence, where He replaces all the nastiness that comes with this world and fills it with Himself. Right? Amen? We sing to the Lord. We shout joyfully. There's a difference between singing with no words and singing so people can hear you, or singing so God can hear you. Right? There's a difference between God, you're good, and God, you're good. There's a difference between amen. Amen, that's good stuff, right? Say God is good, and you're like, you know, you're filled up with God's presence, you almost want to preach. Because you're like, you're right, Pastor. God is so good. You don't know what He's done in my life. Because we've chosen to focus upon Him and not on the things of the world. Let's move on with the passage. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Verse 2, we read that. Thanksgiving isn't just a holiday, right? Thanksgiving is a way of life. Thanksgiving is we come to God and we say, God, I'm thankful. Well, what do you have to be thankful for? And to that person, you may say, I'm thankful Jesus is coming back one day. So I don't have to be with you forever. No, I don't know. But sometimes people put you down, right? What do you have to be thankful for? You got nothing going for you. You know what? We're children of God. We have everything going for us. Right? God is good. Don't get stuck in the mundane things of life and forget how good God is. Today I was thinking back, you know, there's problems in this world. Jesus said you will have trials. You just will have trials. But He said that He will never leave us and He will be with us to go through those trials. But we're going to have trials. My wife and I, we have trials. We have things that we go through that we face in life. We all deal with financial situations. We all deal with goals and dreams and hopes and personalities that might not go so well together. And I was thinking this morning, you know, going back a few generations, even to my grandma on my dad's side, I don't know all their trials. Because their trials were just moments that passed by in time. Their trials that were huge in 1945, they're no longer huge. It was just a moment in time, and I know they trusted Jesus, and I know the big picture of their life is one of pointing to God and praising Him. And it made me think, our trials that we go through, they're not going to last forever either. And our children and our grandchildren, should Jesus wait on His return, and great-grandchildren, they're going to look back at our lives and they're not going to know all the trials that are so big. They're going to look and see whether or not we love Jesus. Right? What the big picture of our lives, the big picture should be Jesus has done an awesome work. Right? The big picture is Jesus got me through. Right? So whatever trials you face, let's come to God with thankful hearts. Amen? With thankful hearts. And know it's not going to last forever. If your mortgage payment's crushing you, there are no mortgages in heaven. If your health is a concern, okay, we pray, we believe in healing, but also know one day that every one of us will get new glorified bodies that won't wear out. Amen? Don't focus upon the problems today. Focus on Jesus and know everything else will go by. It'll pass in the fullness of time. It'll go. Trust Him. And you know how you learn to do that? Thanksgiving. You learn to do that with thankful hearts. With thankful hearts. So maybe you got in a fight with your grandson. Or your son. Maybe your thanksgiving would be, Lord, I'm thankful that You've protected them and You've kept them to this point. Right? Even if they don't know Jesus, Lord, I thank You that there's still time for them to come to know You. Right? So what if you don't have all that you want? Lord, I'm thankful that I have all I need. Right? Amen? So what if our country's in has a lot of financial problems and stuff? I'm thankful we're not like people in many other nations, in persecution as Christians, hiding in a basement, right? We're still wealthier in our nation than I think 85% of the world. You talk about people who work, and when they get done, they might get a plate of rice to feed their family. And we complain if we don't get cheese on our burger. Right? We're all petty. We need to learn to pause and say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm so spoiled that I don't even realize how spoiled I am. But help me to love you more and to thank you every day. Thankfulness helps us to worship Him. It gets us off of our own problems and look at Him. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. We sing to Him. Here's why. Verse 3. Why? For the Lord is what? A great God. A great King above all gods. God is awesome. How great are your problems? If they're great, they may be great. But God's greater, right? Sometimes we lose the perspective of how big God is. God is huge. You know? I could spend all day trying to fix a lawnmower, and Jesus can do this. Let there be light. Boom! And He created light. Right? Jesus, and He's done this for some of you, where we can work forever trying to accomplish something, and Jesus says, let there be no cancer. Boom. And for some of you in this room, Jesus healed you of cancer with just a word. Amen? That's awesome. We serve a great God. That's why we praise Him. That's why we're like a cup overflowing in His presence where somebody bumps us. Amen. The Lord comes out, right? God is good. Amen. Lord, You're awesome. Because God is so good, when we focus on Him, we can't help but give Him praise. Because we can't contain Him. Verse 4, He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to Him. Why? For He made it. His hands formed the dry land too. This is the Creator of everything. Right? For those with bad hearts, Jesus created your heart initially, and He can recreate it now. Amen? He does that. He does that. We watched a video last week of a guy who was raised from the dead. Right? The Lord gives life. He can give more life. God's created everything. Verse 6 tells us what a reply should be. Because of all this, come, let us worship, what? And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flocks under His care. If you would only listen to His voice today. The writer of the psalm says, our response to God should be one in kneeling and worshiping Him. Do you know what happens when we kneel? We're saying something else is bigger than we are. In many nations, they would kneel before a king to say that the king is in charge and we will serve you. The word worship in the Greek literally means to bow down. When we worship God, it's not just about the five songs we sing, but it's where we should come and bow down our hearts, but I think not just our hearts, also our bodies. There's a time to just say, God, I surrender everything to You and bow down before Him, right? And I'll tell you what, the man or woman who's too proud to bow before their Maker won't experience Him in this lifetime. And one day, He will force them to bow down. The Word says, every knee shall bow. Those in heaven, those in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. The question isn't, will you bow? The question is, when will you bow? Either you will bow now in honor and reverence to the King, or one day He will judge you and His crushing weight, the wrath of God, will be on you and force you to bow. I choose to bow now. Because He's worthy, because He's good. Don't be ashamed to bow before Jesus. Maybe you're here saying, but Pastor, I've been serving Jesus a long time and I've never done that. Well, maybe it's about time. Amen? Maybe it's about time to worship Him. Maybe God's been waiting for all of your heart. Amen? Jeremiah 29 says, if you seek me, you will find me, the Lord says, if you seek me with all of your heart. So many people go to church and they think they know God when they don't, because they don't really seek Him. This passage tells us, you know what? Come, let us worship and bow down. Let's kneel. Let's just do it. It doesn't say if you feel excited and spontaneous. It doesn't say if your worship leader is really good, because we know that's not going to happen here, except when Pastor Bob sings. I'm not that good, right? It's not going to be that good. We kneel because God's worthy. We don't kneel because the show is good. That's happening in a lot of churches. I like cool colored lights. I wish we had them. Big stage, strobe light with a cross in the background. It would be awesome. But we don't kneel because the show is good. We kneel because the God is good. Amen? And if there is no show, we still kneel in worship and reverence to God. We don't lift up our hands because somebody tells us to. I kind of hate that anyway. I don't want a worship leader to manipulate me and tell me what to do. That's why we don't do that too much here. But I lift up my hands because I'm surrendering and I'm in awe to Jesus. Because He is good. Not because a worship leader is good, or not because a song's good, or not because they sang a really, really new song or a really, really old song. It's not about the song. It's about the One to whom we're singing. Amen? He says, come. Let's kneel before the Lord. He watches over us. He watches over the flock under His care. If only you would listen to Him today. Not everybody listens to Jesus. This psalm isn't done. There are some that won't listen to Jesus. To go back to our outline, you have a knowledge and tools. The knowledge is, listen, you need to exalt God. You need to worship Him. As I've said before, if we don't worship God, you're going to worship yourself. Or you're going to worship something else. God created you to worship. You're going to worship something. You could choose to worship God, which is why I believe the writer says, come, let's worship. Come, let's kneel. And if you don't, maybe you'll worship your career. Maybe you'll worship your kids. Maybe you'll worship your hobbies. Right? Maybe you'll worship money. You'll worship something. We need to worship something. I say we need to worship God. And the tool is worship. With that. The knowledge, the tool, the third part that we've been looking at is the desire. This is where every week we get to the point of, what are you going to do with this? The knowledge is you need to worship something. The tool, well, let's just worship God. Right? The tool is, let's just sing. Let's just lift up our hands and surrender. And there are some here today, I'm sure, where you've known that. This isn't anything new if you've been in church for any length of time. This message is old hat. You've heard it before. You know what you should do. You know the tool. You have the tool of worship. But yet you don't have the desire to do it. Or maybe you used to have the desire. And it's gone. Let's read on with Psalm 95. And we're going to see some people that did not have the desire to worship the Lord. And let's see that how that pans out for them. Verse 8, the Lord says, there's a shift in the psalm and now God is speaking. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massa in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. The Lord is taking us back to Israel, who's walking through the wilderness with Moses. If you know that story, the Exodus happened, right? They left Egypt. God parted the Red Sea. They crossed. Miraculous things. God provided for them in many ways. They saw the hand of God. Many people say today, oh, if only I saw God do the miraculous, then I would believe them. Not true. These people saw God's hand in a mighty way. Mighty way. The 10 plagues were all about God showing His power over the false gods of Egypt. Over and over again. They saw the mighty hand of God. God saved them, brought them across the Red Sea, crushed the Egyptians. They're walking around, and it was like right away people started complaining. They worshiped God. God, you're awesome. You set us free. I'm hungry. Moses, what's wrong with you? You should have just You should have left us in Egypt. Right? We had Taco Bell in Egypt, Moses. There was food galore. KFC in Egypt. They would even lie. They didn't have good food in Egypt, but they would lie and they would think, we had Five Guys in Egypt. Have you ever had a Five Guys burger? You've never had a burger if you've never had a Five Guys burger. $6, but it's a meal in itself, and it's awesome. They would say things like, oh, the food in Egypt was so good. Now we're just going to die in the desert. Thanks a lot. Okay. And God will provide food. We're just going to die of thirst. We had all we could drink in Egypt. Well, no, you didn't. You were in slavery. But they were whiners and complainers. They looked at what they didn't have instead of looking to God who provided everything, right? They weren't thankful, as we said earlier. And they would complain all the time. And God provided them miraculously with water, miraculously with food. They would always complain. God says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did that day. What does that phrase tell us? Don't harden your hearts. Can I tell you? That means we're prone to harden our hearts. The Lord would not tell us don't do it unless we're bent towards doing it. We're bent towards hardening our hearts. And God says, don't harden your hearts like those people who saw my hand in their life miraculously and they still chose to go their own way. They saw God work. They knew what they should do. But they had no desire to follow Him. They hardened their heart. Verse 9, for there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. Verse 10, for 40 years, God said, for 40 years I was angry with them. And I said, they are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. God is mad. The word says angry. Because God loves His people and they refuse to obey. And it's not that they just refuse to obey, but here we see mommies and daddies who are teaching their children to disobey God. Okay? This is generations of people refusing to obey God. That's why God hates it so much, I think. Because it's not just what you're doing. Your sin affects everybody. It does. Your sin doesn't just affect you, but if you're a spouse, it affects your spouse. If you're a father or a mother, it affects your children. If you're a grandparent, it affects your grandchildren. Your sin affects your church. It affects every part of you. Sin is like cancer that'll eat your soul. It just will. And God hates seeing people die. Die physically, die spiritually. For 40 years, God says, I was angry with them. But they've turned away. They've refused to do what I tell them to do. Verse 11 gives us the final result of those folks. It says, so in my anger, I took an oath. The Lord says, they will never enter my place of rest. They will never enter my place of rest. That's a pretty big warning, isn't it? See, this is what I think what happens. If you take worship, not just singing, but singing is a part of it, but the whole deep seeking God worship thing out of Christianity, if you take that out of your spiritual walk, you end up with a cold, dead, dry religion that does you no good. You become unthankful, like the Israelites were. You become bitter. You begin to hurt other people with your sin. And ultimately, you may even keep yourself out of heaven. Right? It's just like falling down the steps. You know, you ever fell down the steps? You ever fell down the steps in high school in front of all your friends and looked stupid? I've done that. You've ever done that and your book bag ripped open and all your books individually rolled down the steps, papers went everywhere? Yeah, right? Did you ever do that while the bell was ringing, people were going back and forth to class, and there's 200 people on the steps, and they're stepping on your book and your papers? I've done that, okay? So if you wonder why your pastor's so strange, there were a lot of bad things that happened. Including forgetting what that story was even about. Oh, thank you. Just like falling down the steps, it only takes a little bit. Little discombobulation. Miss the step, miss the handle, something. A little bit of backwards momentum, and you can go down the whole thing, right? I think it's like that with our Christian walk sometimes. We're prone to mess up. That's why the Lord says, don't harden your hearts. We're prone to harden our hearts. It doesn't take a whole lot for us to harden our hearts. It's kind of what we do. It doesn't take a whole lot for us to not be thankful. Because you can pray, God, give me a job. And the Lord gives you a job. And maybe the first day you go to work, you're like, this is the blessing of the Lord. And if you're not careful, before long, it turns into, I've done this. Look how hard I work. Right? Instead of, God has given me a job to do this, it turns into, I'm a self-made man. Or I'm a self-made woman. Look what I've done with the work of my hands. And you start taking pride in those things. And your job becomes who you are instead of, you're a child of God. And it turns into, I'm a teacher, I'm a plumber, I'm a pizza man, I install air conditioners, right? Or whatever it is you do. I'm a banker, I'm a mailman. And who you are becomes what you do instead of who you are in Christ. We start to get prideful. It's just like missing the step a little bit. And before you know it, you don't have time to go to church to give God thanks for what He's done. You know how many people we've prayed for to get jobs? They get jobs and they don't come to church because they don't have time for church anymore. It's like God gave you that. It's so easy to trip up and kind of lose it. You know what will keep you from having a bitter heart? Worship. Right? So today, what do you desire to do? On this Mother's Day for all the moms, what's going to help you be the best mom in the world? Can I tell you, if you worship Jesus, it's going to change everything. Because it's in the middle of worship and singing and getting in God's presence that we confess our sins. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, shows us where we're wrong. He begins to take out the poison that's in our hearts and helps us to learn to forgive and deal with sin that was both that we've committed and sin that was committed against us. Right? And in that, it changes everything. For dads, it's the same message. You want to be a better dad? You need to kneel before the Creator of the universe and worship Him. Because you don't have what it takes to be a good dad, or you don't have what it takes to be a good mom. But Jesus is more than enough. You need Him to fill you with His presence. I'm going to be quiet at this point. We're going to go and sing one more song to the Lord. We're going to seek to glorify Him right now. And I want to encourage you to seek Jesus. It's up to you. I can give you the knowledge. I can give you the tools. I cannot give you the desire. How do you grow in God? Pray. Worship. Worship. Seek Him. Lou and Donna, if you could come back and grab on your instruments, that would be great. We're going to move on and worship Him. I want to encourage you to worship Jesus. If you want to, you can stand where you are. You can sit where you are. If you can't see the screen, you can slide out. If you want to kneel, you can kneel where you are. If you want to come up and pray, you can kneel up here if you need a little bit more room. If you don't like the song, you don't have to sing the song. What I want you to do in a very real and practical way is to worship Jesus. Amen? Preached on worship. We need to give Him our worship today. If you're here and you're filled with bitterness, you need to, in the midst of this time, ask Jesus to help you, to refill you with His presence. You know who you are. You know if people bump you and anger and rage and disappointment and bitterness come out. If you listen to your words, if you're always negative, listen, if you're always negative, you're more like the Israelites than you should be. And this message, I pray, is a wake-up call. That we need to get rid of that negativity, and we do that by spending time with Jesus. Amen? Amen. And He will change you. And we can leave this place in 10 minutes having experienced Him. If you feel the desire to raise your hands and worship, raise your hands and worship. Follow Jesus. If you want to kneel, kneel. But I pray that you would seek Him. Amen? Can we give Him 10 minutes? Can we do that? Okay? He's worthy of 10 minutes. And then we're going to pray. All of us have been through church before. I'm looking at them. Okay? If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, ask Him to now. He died, He rose again. Right now, He will forgive you. You don't need to go to a priest or anything. He will forgive you. Talk to Him and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean by Your blood and help me to be a Christian. He will do that today. If you're seeking more of His Holy Spirit, seek Him and say, God, fill me with Your presence. I want more of You. Do that today. Amen. Seek Him.